That is sublime prayer which brings to the soul a clear notion of God, for this is the indwelling of God, through recollection to have God abiding within you. By this we become a temple of God, as long as this state of recollection is not broken by earthly thoughts, or the mind agitated by unlooked-for emotions, but turning from all things to God, repelling all feelings that lead to desire, and giving itself to those that lead to virtue. And what dawn is to others, let midnight be to the athlete of the service of God. When the night's peace gives most leisure to the soul, and no sights or sounds enter to trouble the heart, then the mind alone with itself and with God amends itself to the recollection of its sins, giving itself rules that it may avoid evil, and imploring God's help that it may fulfill all that it desires to do. And this is the history of Moses also conveys to us, for the happenings related to him which are recorded there are as it were symbols of man's state in this world. For their events did not proceed at an even pace. Now they went well, and now because of failing strength the warriors strove with less power. For when Moses held his arms uplifted, Israel overcame. But should his arms drop down, then the Amalek prevailed. This means that when our power of action weakens and falters, then will our ancient enemy prevail against us. But when it is uplifted, and again set upright, our power to see through him becomes stronger. For God uplifts the soul that seeks the things that are above, and lays low the soul that seeks his help to gain the things of the body. He then who comes to the temple of God, let him speak no evil, nor talk of trifling things, nor shameful things. Away with such things. In his temple, as David says, all shall speak his glory. His angels are present who shall record the words. The Lord is present who sees the hearts of those who enter. The prayer of each one is open to the sight of God. The prayer of the man who from his heart or from his understanding is seeking the things of heaven, and the prayer of the one who speaks the word superficially and as it were with the edges of his lips, while his heart is far from God. And if he does pray, he is begging for health of body or for riches or for the glory of this world. Not of these things should we speak, but as the Scripture tells us, in this temple all shall speak his glory. But wonder of wonders, the heavens show forth the glory of God. It is the task of the angels to give glory to God. To give glory to the Creator is the whole duty of the entire host of heaven. For every creature, whether it speaks or is silent, whether in heaven or on earth, gives glory to its Maker. We pity the men who hastened from their homes and hurried to the temple as though to receive something, and there pay no heed to the word of God, and without any discernment of their own inward life they neither sorrow at the remembrance of their sins nor have any fear of the judgment, but smiling and shaking hands with each other, they turn the house of prayer into a place of endless gossiping, heedless of what the psalmist solemnly tells us, in his temple all shall speak his glory. But you are not alone. Do not speak it. You become a distraction to your neighbor, turning his attention to you. God has no need of thy glory, but he desires that you become worthy to receive his glory. And what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. We should give thanks to God for the good things he gives us, and not bear it with bad grace that he measures his giving. Should he grant us to be in union with him, this we shall receive as a most perfect and joyful gift. Should he delay this, let us suffer the loss in patience. For he disposes of our lives more perfectly than we could order them. The halcyon is a seabird which nests by the shore, laying its eggs in the sand and bringing forth its young in the middle of winter, when the sea beats against the land in violent and frequent storms. But during the 7 days while the halcyon broods, for it takes but 7 days to hatch its young, all winds sink to rest and the sea grows calm. And as it then is in need of food for its young ones, the most bountiful God grants this little creature another 7 days of calm, that it may feed its young. Since all sailors know of this, they give this time the name of the Halcyon days. These things are ordered by the providence of God for the creatures that are without reason, that you may be led to seek of God the things you need for your salvation. And when for this small bird he holds back the great and fearful sea, and bids it to be calm in winter, what will he not do for you made in his own image? And if he should so tenderly cherish the Halcyon, how much more will he not give you, when you call upon him with all your heart? Let us then be resolved, brethren, that as in our other needs, so also in time of temptation, not to count on human expectations or seek help there, but let us send upwards our entreaties, and with sighs and tears, with earnest prayer, with long watching, and in this manner shall we obtain deliverance from our affliction. Rejecting human help as vain, and keeping a firm hope in him who alone has power to save us. To him let us offer glory and adoration, together with the eternal Father and the life-giving Spirit, now and forever, world without end. Amen. St. Ambrose, Bishop and Doctor, watch and pray. Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and shall say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? Here is another command to pray always, and not alone by day, but also by night. For you see how this man who rose at midnight and asked his friend for 3 loaves, and with steadfast mind continued to ask him, did not fail in his prayer. And what are these 3 loaves but the mystical bread of heaven? And if you love the Lord your God, you can earn it, not alone for yourself, but for others also. And who is more your friend than he who has given us his body? It was of this friend that David asked for bread in the middle of the night, and received it. For he asked for it when he said, I rose at midnight to give praise to thee. And through this he gained those loaves which he has set before us to eat. He asked when he said, Every night I will wash my bed. Neither did he fear he might not waken the sleeper, whom he knew was unsleeping. And so, keeping in mind these written words, and ceasing not day and night from prayer, let us implore pardon of our sins. For if he who was so holy, and burthened with the cares of a kingdom, praised the Lord 7 times a day, and was zealous ever at the morning and the evening sacrifice, what must we do, we who should pray even more? For through weakness of body and soul we have sinned more often. So that when we are weary from this earthly road, and faint from our journey throughout the world, and at the close of life, we may not be left in need of that bread of spiritual refreshment that gives strength to the heart of man. And the Lord teaches us that we must keep watch, not alone at midnight, but at every moment, for he comes in the evening, and in the second watch, and in the third, and he is wont to knock. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. So if you desire that the power of God shall encompass you and provide for you, you must ever keep watch, for many are the snares that lie in wait for the just, and heavy is the sleep of the body. And if the soul begins to sleep, the power of its virtue is lost. Arise then from your sleep, that you may knock upon the door of Christ, which Paul prayed might be opened to him, beseeching, not alone by his own prayers, but also by the prayers of the people, that he might be helped, so that a door might be opened to him to speak the mystery of Christ. And perhaps this is the door that John saw open. For he saw one, and he tells us, After these things I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet speaking with me, said, Come up hither, and I will show ye the things that must be done hereafter. A door was therefore opened to John, and opened to Paul, that they might receive bread for us, that we might eat. He continued to knock at the door, in season and out of season, so that the Gentiles, who were weary from the hardships of the way, might be refreshed from the abundance of the food of heaven. And in this way was the duty to pray always given to us, and the hope of receiving what we ask for, and the manner in which we are to urge our need. Given first by precept, and then by this example. For he who promises gives us also the hope of receiving what he promises, so that obedience may be given to his precept, and belief to his promise, who at sight of human piety grants greater hope in the eternal mercy, providing we ask for what is right and just, so that our prayer may not change into sin. Paul was unashamed to keep asking for what he desired, so that he might not appear either as doubting God's mercy or as complaining in pride because he had not received what he asked for at his first prayer. For which thing, he says, thrice I besought the Lord, showing us that God, when we pray to him, will often not grant our prayer because he judges that what we pray for is not expedient for us, though we believe it is a gain. To whom be honor, praise, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. St. John Chrysostom, Bishop and Doctor, on Prayer. Prayer is a great good if offered up from a thankful soul, and if we are steadfast in it, so that whether we receive or do not receive what we pray for, we will at all times give thanks to God. For since he will sometimes grant what we ask and sometimes will not, in both cases it is to our gain. For whether you receive or do not receive the answer to your prayer, you have received in not receiving. And whether you succeed or do not succeed, you succeeded by not succeeding in that which you sought. For many times it is more profitable for you not to obtain what you have prayed for. For unless what we ask is expedient for us, it will certainly not be granted to us, so that it is equally a gain to obtain our request and not to obtain it. Neither should we bear it with bad grace if the answer to our prayer is long delayed. Rather, let us, because of this, show great patience and resignation. For can God not grant our prayers even before we ask him? But he delays for this reason, that we may offer him a fitting occasion of honoring us through his divine providence. Whether, therefore, we receive what we ask for, or do not receive it, let us still continue steadfast in prayer, and let us give thanks not only when we have received, but also when we have not received. For to fail in obtaining the desires of our heart, when God so wills it, is not worse than to receive it, for we know not, as he does, what is profitable to us. And so whether we receive or do not receive, let us at all times give thanks to God, and receive with joy whatever shall seem most pleasing to him. For oftentimes God will delay, not as denying our prayer, but in his wisdom seeking rather for our perseverance, and desiring to draw us nearer to himself, as a loving father, when asked by his son for something, will often do, withholding consent, and not from the will to refuse, but rather to encourage him in steadfastness. That our prayers therefore be heard by God, they must first come from one who is worthy of receiving. Secondly, they should be made in accordance with the laws of God. Thirdly, they should be unceasing. Fourthly, it is required of us that we pray with earnestness, and not in a worldly manner. Fifthly, that we join with him in bringing them about, by asking not only for what is fitting and expedient for us, but just as your prayers will be heard because of the fulfillment of these conditions, so likewise it may arise from these conditions that your request will not be obtained, even though they who pray are just and worthy souls. For who was more just than Paul? Yet because he asked for what was not profitable to him, his prayer was denied. For which thing thrice I besought the Lord, he tells us, and he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee. And who was more just than Moses? Yet neither was his prayer answered, the Lord saying to him, It is enough, speak no more to me of this matter. For when he prayed that he might be allowed to enter the promised land, the Lord would not grant him his prayer, for it was not expedient. There is yet another reason that may cause our prayer to go unanswered, namely, that though we pray, we yet continue in sin. What did the Lord say to Jeremiah concerning the Jews? Do not pray for this people. Seest thou not what they do? They will not give up their wickedness, he says, and yet you offer prayers for them? But I shall not listen. And if we pray against our enemies, God will not alone not listen to us, but his wrath will fall also on us. Prayer is indeed a medicine, but if we not know how to apply it, we cannot profit by its goodness. How great a thing is perseverance in prayer, we learned from the woman of Canaan, who in the end won from Christ what he had refused her at the request of the apostles, and this she did through her persevering prayer. But we should ourselves seek pardon for our own personal sins, rather than that others should intercede for us. When we have to appear before men for judgment, we need money, and we need to be servile, and to use care and diligence, for a ruler is not always disposed to grant favors or even a hearing. So first we need to win over his ministers and those who stand round about him, using money and employing words in every kind of flattery, so that by their help we may obtain what we seek. It is not so with God. When we ask him for something, there is no need of intermediaries, and neither is he more disposed to help us because he is asked by others rather than by ourselves. For he desires that we should often seek things from him. To do this is greatly pleasing to him. For it is in this alone that he becomes our debtor, that he is pleased as often as we pray to him, and gives us freely what we have not loaned him. And though he see one who is in need praying to him with fervor, he will himself pay down for us that which he has not received from us. But should we pray in an indifferent manner, he will be indifferent to our request, not because he does not wish to give, but because our prayer is acceptable only when we pray to him with all our hearts. Nor does God put off the granting of our prayers from detestation or because he is against us, but he does clearly wish, by delaying his giving, to keep us close to himself. Just as fathers who love their children tenderly will withhold a gift from children who are lazy and indifferent to teach them to persevere. And have your prayers been heard? Then give thanks because your prayers have been heard. And have your prayers not been heard? Keep on in prayer that they may be heard. You do not stand in need of persons to speak for you, or of roundabout ways and means, or of winning the help of others by flattery. For though you may be helpless and without a protector, if you cry out to God himself, you shall most certainly be heard. For if we come morning, noon, and night before the eyes of men whom we have offended many times, through this repetition, through this repeated appearance before them, we gradually dissolve their hatred against us. Much more does this happen with God. But he is not so disposed to favor us when prayed to by others on our behalf as he is when we pray for ourselves, even though we should be laden with sin. And let those who pray in an indifferent manner take heed, and let them not receive it with bad grace should he delay in answering their prayer. For supposing I were to say to you, pray to God, beseech him, implore him, such a person might answer, I have prayed to him once, twice, three times, 10 times, 20 times, but I receive no answer. Then I say, do not cease from praying to him till you have, and even then do not cease, even then continue to pray. And if you do not receive any answer to your prayer, keep praying till you do. And when you have obtained what you prayed for, then give thanks for what you have received. Many people go to a church, and there they recite endless prayers, and then they go out again without knowing a word of what they'd said. Their lips move, but the sense of hearing, even the mind, perceive nothing. You who cannot hear your own prayers wish that God will? You will say, but I went on my knees. Yes, but your mind went wandering. Your body was indeed in the church, but your mind was outside it. Your lips recited prayers, but your attention was taken up with profit and loss, with business, with exchange, with property, with meeting friends. For the devil, who is full of evil knowing we can do great things by the power of prayer, will attack us when we pray so as deprive us of the fruits of it, and to leave us, as it were, striving in vain. Yet oftentimes at home, lying idle on our beds, we think of nothing at all. But let us begin to pray, and straightway a thousand thoughts will crowd upon our minds. And in this way, it will happen that when our prayer is over, we go away without knowing or without hearing what it was that we said. When we see this happen, let us begin our prayer anew. And should it happen again, let us begin a third time and a fourth. And let us never give up till we pour out our prayer before God with all fitting reverence and recollection. And when the devil sees we will not give up till we have prayed with due reverence and recollection, he will cease to trouble us, because he sees that his deceits yield him no profit, but only cause us to repeat the praises of God over and over again. At times it will happen to us that, desiring to speak with some particular person, we are so taken up with this purpose that we fail to see others we know who stand nearby. So narrow is the mind that we can then only see this one person with whom we desire to speak. Should we not be much more like this in the presence of God, intent on our prayer, and not allowing our thoughts to wander thither and yither? If the tongue speaks while the mind wanders, thinking of home or what is going on in the marketplace, perhaps what is left of our prayer may bring us punishment instead of reward. For if we in the service of other men must stand long hours waiting, as the soldiers do, who serve and suffer hardships, or those who fulfill lowly tasks and often without the hope of a reward at the end, should we not wait on the Lord with zeal, from whom we shall receive a reward greater than all our labors? Those who do they not deserve to be punished? For even if they do not receive what they pray for, is it not a great privilege to speak in loving converse with God? Prayer is indeed a great and blessed thing, since by means of it we speak with God. Should you speak with a very good man, do you not truly draw profit from this? What of the profit of a man who is allowed to speak with God? How unfitting it is that we should command our servants to wait on us at all times, when we do so little in the service of God. You know not, O man, what is expedient for you, for at times you pray for what is harmful and dangerous. But he who has a true concern for you disregards your request, yet even before you ask him, he grants you what you truly need. For if earthly fathers do not give all their children ask for, not because they despise them, but because their concern for them is so deep, how much more will the Lord not do this, who loves us more than all others, and sees more clearly what is truly for our good? So when you are weary of prayer, and your prayer is still unanswered, think how often you have heard a poor man pleading for help, and have not answered him. Yet he did not become angry and upbraid you, though you ignored him through callousness, while God does not answer through kindness. If you think you are not to be blamed because you did not heed the prayer of your fellow servant, how can you reproach the Lord, who in his love for him has not answered the prayer of his servant? And if the blessed David, who was a king and immersed in cares and called on from every side, prayed to the Lord 7 times in the day, what excuse, what forgiveness is there for us who are so free and who yet fail to turn to God in earnest prayer? And when we stand to gain so much, it cannot be that a man who prays as he ought, calling on the Lord without ceasing, shall ever fall away, who rouses his mind and soul and raises himself in spirit to heaven, and in this manner calls upon the Lord, and mindful of his sins pleads with him to forgive him, begging that he shall be gracious and merciful. While he is so held in holy converse with God, putting aside all earthly desire, He is borne on wings and lifted above all human unrest. For not more do the streams cause the gardens to flower than the wells of our tears, the plant of our prayer, sending it straight upwards to its highest perfection, and bringing him who prays before the very face of the Lord. And from there onwards most surely shall his prayers be heard. For if while the body is bowed to the ground, the mouth babbles idly, and the mind wanders here and there through the house, through the marketplace, how can such a person say he has prayed before the face of God? He prays before the face of the Lord who contains his soul in every direction, and withdraws it from all that is earthly, and thrusting aside every human reflection, raises it up towards heaven. For striving with his whole mind, a man ought so to pray that he calls upon the Lord from a truly repentant soul, not holding forth in loud discourses, not drawing his supplication out to undue length, but speaking in words that are few and simple. For that our prayer be heard depends not on the number of our words, but on the fervor of our soul. We are taught this by the prayer of Anna, the mother of Samuel. For this is how she prayed: O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt look down on the affliction of thy handmaid, and will give to thy servant a man-child, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. What multitude of words is there here? Yet, because she made this prayer from a fervent and recollected soul, he brought to pass what she longed for, making good what was defective in her nature, opening the womb that was closed and filling her with confidence, so that she reaped from the sterile womb an unshorn child. He then who prays should not strain after long prayers, but should pray often. For both Christ and Paul teach us to use short but oft-repeated prayers at frequent intervals. For should you stretch your prayer to too great length, often it will happen that, becoming forgetful, you give ready access to the devil to enter your mind and upset you, and lead you away in thought from what you are saying. But if you give yourself to short and frequent prayer, dividing up discreetly the whole time of your prayer, you will easily retain control of your mind, and such prayers as these you will make with great recollection. Do you wish to learn watchfulness in prayer, and earnestness and recollection? Then go to Anna, and learn what she did. For they all rose up from the table, but she did not then give herself to sleep or rest. So to me she seems to have been recollected even at table, to be light of spirit, not weighted with food. Nor did she shed so many tears. For if we thought sober and fasting pray in this way only with difficulty, or rather scarce ever pray in this way, much more did she not pray in this manner, unless by doing as those who fast at table. Let us, O men, do reverence to the woman. Let us, I say, reverence her as she pours forth with tears her prayers for a son, we who yawn while we pray for a kingdom. And reflect with me upon the devotion of this woman. Her voice, we read, was not heard at all, only her lips moved. So let him come to God who desires him to receive his request, not in softness of spirit, not yawning, not faltering, not half asleep, not distracted. Is it that God cannot grant your prayer until he hears your petition, or that he knew not the woman's desire till she spoke? Had he granted her this before, then the earnestness of the woman would not have been known, nor her devotion revealed to us, nor would she then have received so great a reward. But now we learn also her wisdom. For see how she answers Heli the priest, who thought she was drunk with wine. Count not thy handmaid for one of the daughters of Belial, for out of the abundance of my sorrow have I spoken till now. It is a sign of a heart truly contrite, when we are not embittered or angry with those who have injured us, and that we even defend them. For nothing so makes the heart wise as suffering and grief born for God. It is fitting, then, that we begin and end each meal with giving thanks to God. He who has made a beginning in this way will never sink to drunkenness and folly, never swell up through gluttony, but will, by the preparation of his prayer, impose a curb on his senses, and partake in just measure of what is set before him, and doing this, fill both soul and body with abundant blessing. For the meal that begins with prayer and ends with prayer shall want for nothing, but more abundant than a spring will yield us an abundance of all that is good. Let us not lose this gain, for it is unfitting that those who serve us should, when they receive a portion of what is set before us, give thanks and withdraw with a blessing on us, while we who enjoy so much do not give the same thanks to God. Because of this neglect, many things befall us beyond our expectation, both in public and in private, and this because we are not concerned with the things of the soul first, and then only with worldly affairs. Do you not know that if coming to God you adore him and make him a partner of whatever you do, whatever you may have in hand will prosper? But have you worldly anxieties? Then because of them hasten here, that you may bring upon yourself the favor of God, and have him as your helper, and by his divine aid become invulnerable to the spirits of evil. For if you within yourself, if you share in the common prayer, if you receive help from God, if you go forward defended by this armor, not even the devil has power against you, to say nothing of wicked men seeking to injure and calumniate you. And if going forth from your house to the marketplace, you find yourself bare of these aids, you will be defenseless against all who threaten you. And let no one say to me that it cannot happen that a man of the world, taken up with his daily affairs, can go running to the church all day to pray. For he can, and with ease. For though busy in the marketplace or engaged in public affairs, he cannot easily run to the church, yet he can still pray. And this many often do. And when the magistrate is calling out within, threatening, striving, raging, those who stand without, sealed with the sign, breathe a few words of prayer within their heart, and going in they change him and make him gentle, and from being fierce they cause him to become mild, and no circumstances, whether of time or of place, or lack of silence, stood in the way of that prayer. Nor is there so much need for the voice as for the mind, nor for the stretching forth of hands, so much as for a striving of the soul, nor for the outward sign, so much as for the inward reality. It was because of this that the prayer of Anna, the mother of Samuel, was heard, not because she cried out to God with a loud, clear voice, but because she cried out so much from within her own heart. Her voice was not heard at all, we read, and the Lord granted her petition. Let us then make no excuses, saying that it is not easy to pray in the midst of worldly affairs, or that there is no house of prayer close at hand. For wherever you are, you may set up your own altar. No place forbids it, and no time prevents it. For though you bend not the knee, nor beat your breast, nor raise hands to heaven, if you will but make known to God your ardent faith, you have offered a perfect prayer. For it is possible, even as you go through the marketplace, and walking alone, to make frequent prayer. It is possible, while sitting in your workshop, stitching leather, to consecrate your heart to God. It is possible for the man who is selling and the man who is buying, for the one going up and the one going down, for the person standing over a pot cooking, to make fervent and frequent prayer, though it is not possible to enter a church. For God takes no thought of place. This alone he requires of us, a mind and soul that loves the things of God. Even Paul, not in a place of prayer, but cast into a dungeon, not standing erect but bent down on his knees, for he was held fast in the stocks to which his knees were fastened, lying there prayed with fervor, and shook his prison, and caused its foundations to tremble, and bound the keeper of the prison, and then he led him to the sacred initiation. And Ezekias, far from standing erect or going upon his knees, but lying sick unto death upon his bed, turned his face to the wall. And since he cried fervently to the Lord from a chaste soul, the sentence spoken against him was recalled, and he was answered with great kindness by the Lord, and restored to his former health. And the thief stretched out upon a cross for a few words received a heavenly kingdom. And Jeremiah, amid squalor and from a prison, and Daniel from the lion's den, and Jonas from the belly of a whale, all cried out to God, and all received favor from on high, and the evils that shadowed them were scattered. And what must you say when you pray? That which the Chananean woman said, for just as she said, "Have mercy on me, my daughter is grievously tormented by a devil." So you also say, "Have mercy on me, for my soul is grievously tormented by a devil." For sin is a great demon. He that has a devil finds mercy. The sinner is held in hate. Have mercy on me. The phrase is short, but it holds within it a sea of loving trust. For where there is mercy, there all good things are. Even though you are not within a church, cry out and say, "Have mercy on me." And though you move not your lips, cry out in your soul, for even the prayer of the silent is heard by the Lord. It is not a place that is to be looked for, but the master of the place. Jeremiah lay in squalor, and the Lord hearkened to his prayer. Job prayed from his dunghill, and the Lord was gracious to him. Jonah was in the belly of a whale, and the Lord listened to his prayer. And you, even if you are in the baths, pray. Wherever you are, pray. Do not seek for a place to pray in. You yourself are a temple. The sea lay in the path of the Jews. Behind them were the Egyptians. Between stood Moses, silent. For in great anguish of mind he was praying. And the Lord said to him, "Why criest thou to me?" And you, when temptation shall come against you, fly to God, call upon the Lord. Is he a man that you must find the place where he is, going from one place to another? God is near us always. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall hear, and he shall say, "Here I am." Your prayer is scarce ended, and he is offering you a remedy for your need. For if you have a mind free from all impure affections, though you stand in the marketplace or the street, or are present at a trial, or by the sea, or at an inn, or in your workshop, in a word, wherever you may be, by calling on the Lord you may obtain what you ask for. The stretching out of the hands in prayer. What is the meaning of stretching out hands in prayer? They have been the instrument of many iniquities, and because of this we are bidden to lift them up, that the ministry of prayer may serve them as a fetter against evil doing, as a withdrawal from iniquity. So that should you be on the point of committing a theft, of oppressing another, of striking him, you may remember that you must raise those hands in pleading before God, and by means of them offer up a spiritual sacrifice. Do not dishonor them, do not deprive them of their office of pleading, by using them in the service of evil. Purify them by alms deeds, by works of mercy, by protecting those in distress. And thus you will uplift them in prayer. For if you would not raise them in prayer unwashed, much less will you as just man stain them with sin. For if you fear to pray with unwashed hands, which is a small offense, much more let you fear what is graver. For to pray with unwashed hands is not such a grievous thing, but to uplift them in prayer stained with innumerable crimes brings down wrath and destruction. The power of prayer. Do you wish to learn how great is the power of prayer that is offered by the church? Peter, on a certain occasion, was held in prison, bound with many chains. But prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him, and immediately he was delivered from prison. What then was stronger than this prayer, which helped the pillar and the strength of the church? This is not yet imposed on catechumens, for they have not yet reached this confidence. But it is laid on you to make intercession for the whole church, for the whole world spread to the ends of the earth, and for those who minister in it, and preside over it. And since you fulfill this duty with eagerness, you truly bear witness that great is the power of the prayer offered in the church, with one mind by all the people. For if among men it will happen that when condemned men are being led to death, and the people come forward to plead for them, will not the king, moved by the prayer of so many, set aside the sentence? Much more will our heavenly king be moved by your prayers, and grant what you ask of him. You have heard how Peter was delivered from his prison because prayer was made for him without ceasing by the church. How much greater a task is it, do you think, for our littleness to go to God and beseech him for so many people? For if I have not confidence enough to intercede for myself, much less have I got it for others. This is a task for those who are worthy. Since I also have offended, how am I to plead on behalf of others? That one should pray for many is an act of great faith, and one needing great confidence. But for many together to make intercession for one does not seem a grave task. We can pray for them also in our own home, but it is not possible to pray there as in the church, where the number of the fathers is large, and where prayer is offered up with one accord. When you pray alone, your prayers are not heard in the same way as when you pray with your brethren. For here there is something greater. They are of one mind and one voice. There is the bond of charity and the prayer of the priests. It is for this reason the priests are there, so that joining their more efficacious prayers to those less strong of the people, they may ascend together with them to heaven. For if the prayer of the church helped Peter and delivered that pillar from the prison, how can you, I ask you, ignore its power? For as the power of love is not broken by distance, neither is the efficacy of prayer. And as the one still links those who are far apart, so too, and from afar, can the other most powerfully help us. For as Moses, though not present in body at the battle, brought there not less but more aid, for uplifting his hands in prayer he raised up their courage and made them formidable to their enemies. No right action can be wholly great unless the profit of it is passed on to others. For should you fast or sleep on the ground or eat ashes, should you mourn continually and yet help no one, you have done nothing great. And though many and great were the wonders which Moses wrought, none among them makes him so great as those blessed words which he spoke to the Lord. Either forgive them this trespass, or if thou do not, strike me out of the book thou hast written. David also reveals the same greatness where he says, It is I, the shepherd, that have sinned. I have done wickedly. These that are thy sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand be turned against me and against my father's house. Great words, and worthy of a citizen of heaven. The generosity of Paul is even greater, for he prayed that he might be banished from glory for the salvation of others. But Jonas, because he was concerned for his own safety, was brought into danger of his own life. The city stood fast, but he was submerged in the sea. Great, too, were the other deeds of Moses, but the greatest and crowning glory of that holy soul was that he chose to be blotted out from the book of life for the salvation of the Jews. But the prayer of Paul far surpasses this, for the former did indeed choose to perish with them. The latter prayed, not that he might perish with them, but that they should be saved and he alone be banished from the eternal glory. It is a good thing, therefore, to profit by the prayer of the saints, but when we also share in their efforts. If this be wanting, the help of others will avail us nothing. Even with this help we may yet perish. For of what help was Jeremiah to the Jews? Did he not three times approach the Lord, and three times heard, Do not pray for this people, for I will not hear thee? And what did Samuel prophet Saul, praying for him to the last, grieving over him? What did he prophet the Israelites? Did he not declare, Far from me be this sin against the Lord, that I should cease to pray for you? Did they not all perish? And if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, be in it, they shall deliver their own souls by their justice. They shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, since their iniquity has mounted up. What does this mean? Does prayer not help us? It helps us, and exceedingly, but only when we cooperate with it. And if you wish to know how it helps us, consider together with me Cornelius and Tabitha, and listen also to God speaking, I will protect this city for my own sake and for David my servant's sake. But when? In the time of Ezekias the just. But if the prayers of some of the very wicked then prevailed, why did they not prevail against when Nebuchadnezzar came? The Lord said this, but he gave over the city, because wickedness had mounted up. And here also Samuel prayed for the Israelites and obtained his prayer. But when? When they were also pleasing to the Lord, then did he put their enemies to flight. But someone will say, what need have I of the prayers of others, since I please God? What is it you say, O man? Paul did not say, what need have I of prayers? Peter did not say, why do I need prayers? Though those who prayed for him were not worthy of him, certainly they were not his equals. Yet you say, what need have I of prayers? Prayer, we read, was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him, and immediately he was delivered from his bonds. And you say, what need have I of prayers? You need them for this reason, because you think that you have no need of them. Please go to side B.